We're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by our friend Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. Chris, good afternoon. Good to have you back on the program with us.
Hey, Rich. It's always a pleasure to come on. The minor league season's cranking, the major league season's cranking, and we're fired up and hitting our stride over at Sox Prospects. So it's a pleasure to come on and talk.
Well, absolutely. And your list, at the top of that list, I think this guy's going to work out okay. Andrew, what's his name? Benintendi, huh?
Yeah, it sounds a little like Ben and Jerry's or Ben Nintendo, I guess. Some people may have heard of him. Yeah, it's kind of funny for me to see Benintendi at the top of our list because technically he's only even able to stay on there because of the ankle injury that cost him some games at the end of last season. But if you think about it, he got through the system in a little over a year and he's become not only entrenched as a regular in Boston, but he's hitting at the top of the order. So, it's almost like you can't even credit the player development system because he was in the system for such a short amount of time. But at the very least, it was he was a number 7 pick, and he might go down as the best pick in that draft. Although I'd have to go back and check. But as of right now, I'm sure he's probably contributing to a team more. He's probably already contributed more to the Red Sox than most of the players taken in that draft will probably do ever. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. Well, the number 2 guy who will become the number 1 guy likely on the list very soon. He's only 20 years old, but we got to keep our eyes on him because I'm still not sold on Pablo getting things done at third base.
Yeah, with Rafael Devers at third base in Portland, he's not necessarily a guy that I think is going to make the kind of rapid rise to Boston that Benintendi did last year. If you think about it, Benintendi started last year at Salem, so anything's possible, but Devers signing out of the Dominican at age 16. He's kind of worked his way through the system, debuting in 2014. It's kind of been a level-by-level process, but, man, he's got a chance to be a special bat, and he's been proving lately, too, that he's also an above-average defender at third base, and this is for a guy who, when you see him, he's a big dude, and it was really easy when he was younger to project, oh, he'll move over to first base just because of his size. You didn't even have to see him play the field, but it's a plus, if not better, arm, and he's got really good actions over there at third base. And with the fact that the Red Sox have the situation they currently have at third, where even entering the year, they did kind of leave it a little bit in flux. Sandoval's not necessarily going anywhere anytime soon, but, if he's not working out and it rolls around where Devers looks like he's ready for Boston, I don't think they'd have any problems plugging him in there and making him their third baseman of the future. They certainly let the door open for Devers going forward, and I think he's a guy who could hit in the middle of a major league order, a year or two down the line. It's great pop. It's a great hit tool. He's really got a well-rounded game. One thing he doesn't really have is speed. But he's a guy that they're really high on. They apparently refused to include him in the Chris Sale trade this offseason as the third player in the deal. A lot of people misinterpreted that comment as thinking that the Red Sox were higher on Devers than Moncada or Kopech, the two headlining prospects of the Chris Sale trade, but they still are very high on him, and they chose to include Luis Alexander Basabe and a minor league reliever in lieu of Devers in that deal because they wanted to hang on to him. And I think it's because they have plans for him in the near future.
Chris, what do we have to look forward to for up-and-comers on the mound? Certainly the rotation looks pretty solid there in Boston right now, but you can never have enough depth when it comes to pitching arms.
Sure, I think that's the case, and unfortunately I think the cupboard is pretty bare in terms of starting pitching talent in the minor leagues. The top prospect in the system right now is last year's first-round pick for the Red Sox, Jake Groom. He's only 18 years old, and he's in low A Greenville, and in fact, he's actually on the disabled list right now. He strained a lat in his first start of the season, so he's going to be on the shelf for reportedly only a couple of weeks. But, he's a guy that's a really special talent. He's a top 50 prospect in the game, and there's no shame in his being the top pitching prospect in your system. Unfortunately, he's really the only guy that I would project with any certainty as a major league starting pitcher down the line in the system right now. The Red Sox had a couple of others in Michael Kopech and Anderson Espinosa, but those two guys were traded in the Chris Sale trade in Kopech's case and straight up for Drew Pomeranz in Espinosa's case. Those are also two top 50 prospects in the game right now, but the Red Sox moved them to try and shore up the major league rotation and you know, hey, Major League talent is the name of the game here, right? You're not competing to have the best farm system in Major League Baseball. So, you know, Groom projects as a special, you know, potential front of the rotation guy from the left-hand side down the line for the Red Sox, but you're looking at least a three-year development process for him, maybe four. So I think what you've seen in Boston right now is what you're going to see for the near future. You know, we'll see what Brian Johnson does tonight in a spot start. You know, speaking of guys in the minors, I still haven't really given up hope on him as, I guess, a potential back end of the rotation guy. It's really hard to kind of judge on his 2016 that he missed most of the year for, you know, with anxiety issues. He came back last year and the stuff wasn't really there. This year, he and Henry Owens were both sent down from Major League camp pretty early. But I want to see what he does tonight. He's kind of worked his way back and earned another shot, and I'd like to see what makes of it. And I'd like to see him potentially as a guy with options, as opposed to Kyle Kendrick, who once he comes up, if he comes up, he actually got Kyle Kendrick was a story at big league camp, but he's gotten bombed his first couple of starts in Pawtucket this year. You know, I think Johnson would be a better option as that up and down guy because you can send him back down because he's got options remaining. Whereas Kendrick, you might lose to waivers if you were to send him back down. So big opportunity for him, and I'm sure the Red Sox are really hoping that he can give them something this year and maybe even in the future if the spot were to open up.
We're talking with Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. Well, the Sox went out and signed Mitch Moreland to a one-year deal, and part of that was because of their confidence in Sam Travis. Is he doing anything to shake the team's faith in him so far?
Well, you know, he's had kind of a rough start to the year. He actually had a collision with catcher Blake Swihart down in Pawtucket that I think cost him a few games. So he recently came back. Travis is shaking off the rust of missing most of last season. He, at the end of May, tore his ACL in a rundown between first and second at a game I happened to be at. So he missed the rest of the year after suffering that injury at the end of May. So he's got some lost time to make up for, some rush to shake off. Had a really great major league camp this year. Came in, got an on-roster invite, and really impressed the Major League coaching staff, which is important for a guy who's trying to, you know, make a spot for himself on the Major League roster in the near future. Having the confidence of John Farrell and his staff really goes a long way towards their willingness to go to the front office and say, hey, go get us Travis. We've got a spot for him. We'll put him in the lineup. He's a guy who'll hit. He's a guy who's got some pop, but now it's just more a matter of getting locked back in at the AAA level and waiting for that opportunity to arise. Moreland certainly isn't necessarily doing anything to lose his job this year. He's been a doubles machine, but you know, with Hanley Ramirez, it really does sound like Hanley wants to DH full time, and he's really not enamored with the idea of playing first base. So this is another situation where I think you hit it right on the head. The Red Sox left this situation as a temporary fix where they could have signed someone like an Edwin Encarnacion or some of the other free agents that were out there, Mike Napoli, there were some other guys. Instead, they opt for Moreland on a one-year deal, I think because they wanted to leave the option open to give that spot to Travis next year. So he's got the season to show that he's ready. I would be really surprised if Travis doesn't get a late-season call-up, no matter the situation the Red Sox find themselves in, contending or otherwise. But he's got the opportunity to really show them that he's ready for the majors. I don't think he'll ever be necessarily a regular all-star at the first base position. He's got pop, but the question's there whether he's going to necessarily hit the way that an all-star first baseman needs to hit. You know, it's a position where there is a lot of offense right now, but that said, I don't think he's necessarily going to be a hole in the lineup either, and the Red Sox have really good hitters at other positions, you know, for example, left field, right field, shortstop, second base, potentially third base if Devers were to come up. You know, they've got hitters elsewhere in the order where they can have, if they can get a major league average first baseman's bat out of Travis, I think they'd be plenty happy with it.
For Red Sox fans planning to head down and check out the Sea Dogs in Portland this summer, about beyond Devers, who are the guys down there to keep a sharp eye on?
You know, it's funny. We actually, on our last episode of the Sox Prospects podcast, which people can find on, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, however they listen to podcasts, our director of scouting, Ian Kundal, and our assistant director of scouting, Chaz Fiorino, just sat in on the season opening series down there. So we had a whole episode we dedicated to the Sea Dogs. It's an interesting lineup. You know, the Devers is obviously the headliner, but, you know, while it's interesting, the rotation is merely okay. Pretty much the entire bullpen is full of guys, strangely, that could contribute at the major league level. And, you know, in the lineup, the first guy I would probably highlight is first baseman Nick Longhi. He's actually, he was born in Springfield, grew up in Springfield, Massachusetts, grew up in Florida. He's a guy the Red Sox drafted late and signed out of high school, signed him out of a commitment to LSU. He's a guy who slowly made his way through the system that made some adjustments to his swing this offseason, where in the past he's really been a guy who's hit well for average, but the power's been a little lacking. He's made some mechanical changes, added a leg kick, changed his hand path to get a little bit more lift. You know, we hear a lot about swing path and launch angle and all these, you know, kind of new age statistical measures these days, and it's starting to make its way into minor league guys adjusting their swings, and so he's looking for a little bit more pop. I like Longy a lot as a guy who can play first base and maybe even play some outfield for you in left field or right field. He's got a good arm. He can move. He's an athletic kid. He's not exactly a base clogger who's stuck at first base. So he's a guy that we're watching. He's ranked ninth in our rankings right now, and he's an interesting bat there. Pitching-wise, like I mentioned, the entire bullpen. Luis Isla is a guy that's on the 40-man, but Austin Maddox, some people will remember as one of the guys who stayed in Major League camp as a non-roster invite until pretty much the very end, fighting for the roster spot that Ben Taylor wound up getting out of the gate on opening day. He, along with Jamie Callahan, who spent last year in Salem, are a couple of exciting arms. Right-hander Jake Cosart was our pitcher of the year last year, even though he was a reliever. He just dominated in Greenville and Salem. He's a guy who you know, has a chance to move quickly, can dial up high 90s when he's on. Really could be an impact on bullpen arm. So all those guys, and there's some guys in the rotation that, you know, need to take some steps forward, but are also kind of interesting. Folks will remember the name Trey Ball as the number 7 pick in 2013,
right,
who, you know, interestingly enough, was passed by the 2015 number 7 pick in Benintendi. But, you know, Ball's an interesting case where he's just never really taken off in the starting rotation, you know, has kind of slowly worked his way through the system, but it's never really gone well for him in the rotation. My question is whether maybe you move him to the bullpen as a left-hander who's athletic and maybe you're throwing shorter outings, the stuff plays up. Or the other question is, do you move him to the outfield? He was considered a first-round talent as an outfielder as well out of high school. The problem with that is then you're basically going back to square one. You probably got to send him back to rookie ball, and you're looking at another long sort of 3 to 4 year process. Is that something you want to put him through at that point after being in the system since 2013? So, really a lot of interesting guys to see in Portland. You know, there's plenty more I could talk to you about. The outfield's got a lot of interesting guys, including Henry Tavares, who was a Rule 5 pick of the Orioles that got sent back. I don't think he'll be in Portland much longer, to be frank. I think he's due to Pawtucket by the end of the month, the way he's been hitting. But it's an interesting lineup after maybe a couple of years where, other than the second half of last year, we had the Benintendis and Moncadas of the world coming through. It's a better team than they've had in the years before that, where it was a little, maybe a little thin.
Chris Hatfield, SoxProspects.com. Chris, always a treat to talk with you. Thanks for catching up with us this afternoon. We look forward to visiting with you throughout the year.
Yeah, always happy to come on. And, you know, folks can check us out at SoxProspects.com. The podcast and news page is news.SoxProspects.com. We just started our season preview series, The System Restarts. That'll be going all this week and into next week.